The Eagle has landed. You guys are tuned into the Brothers Podcast live on your Blog Talk Radio. I am your boy Dre from the First State, the Diamond State, the home of all your money and your president. We make it happen because we got it like that. And it's almost cancer season, so all you double-minded people, take several seats and have a good day. It's your boy, and joining me in the studio as always, my co-host live from Charm City, live from the place that smells like a bunch of dolphins, live from the place that you got to be more careful, Mars in the building. Mars, say what's up to the people.
What's up, people? What's going on?
Welcome, 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 guys. We are so excited that you guys have joined us for yet another Brothers episode, another Brothers podcast. And if you missed it on the live day, don't worry, you can catch us on tonight right on your Apple Podcast and your iHeartRadio. We are always excited to be in your living rooms, on your computers, through your laptops, in your phones, on your cars, in your cars, through your speakers, through your Alexa system, through your Google Voice, whatever you use to tune in. We are excited that you chose to be here with us. A lot of stuff going on in the news, starting with our former leader of a new world, orange head himself, Donald Trump,
new world
has been indicted here in the United States. One of the most unprecedented events, unprecedented events in the U.S.
Unprecedented, yes.
And it is a shame that this has brought the scope that it has brought to the United States of America. Of course, you know me. You know, I don't really care one way or another about Trump. I didn't like the man before he ran for office. But, you know, his loyal supporters are very much very much in their stance against these indictments. Of course, they're saying, you know, if Trump gets charged, then Biden should be charged, and Hillary Clinton's cases should be brought back up, blah, 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 blah. But personally, you know, I feel if the man did it and he's guilty, go to jail. And the fact that he did it, that's messing him up. The fact that you tried to lie and say you didn't do it, then you turned around and you got caught in your shit. And I believe that you've been caught enough that by George, it's time for you to be in the cell with some of the same people you have fired over the years. Maurice, what's your take?
Bye, Trump.
Short.
I don't know. I also feel like he's not going to get anything. I was listening to, I happened to be at work, and our TV and the teachers I don't say is on CNN and all those wonderful cable news stations, and they were pulling out some facts that former presidents or vice presidents, even though they may have been indicted, even though they may be facing criminal charges, they struck a plea deal. So I'm just interested to see what's going to happen with these 37 criminal charges. He's charged with 37 criminal charges.
37. And keep in mind that he also does not at this time have a defense team. He literally, no one wants to take this case.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah, he pretty much has a federal PD. I'm sorry. I just find it to be hilarious.
Wow. None of his Giuliani
None.
Don't want to take it?
None. None of them. None. Did I say none? None.
Wow.
None.
Wow.
Crazy, yep. Man. Absolutely. In other hair-raising activities, pun intended, there was a baby cub that decided that it wanted to come ashore in Florida beaches over the weekend. What behooved me was no one in the water got out the water. They didn't even seem scared. Like, this must have been normal. like Yogi, Boo-Boo, because it was too small to be Yogi, Boo-Boo came out the water, shook the water off of him and said, I holler, and just ran up the beach. Listen here. Let me be in the water, and a whole bear, black bear at that, comes out
wow.
the water. Like, I'm done snorkeling. I'm going to holler at y'all later. The jet ski never showed up on time. Okay, dog, you keep that water, Mr. Bear. Hey, boo-boo, you keep that water. I don't want to be nowhere near boo-boo at all. You can have my French fries and everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Absolutely.
Now, hey, at least we know the bear was having a great time in the water.
He probably was. He was like, yo, you know, y'all hot. I'm hot, too. It's Florida.
Right.
You know, it cracked me up, though, because everybody that, and then the ones that were on, like, the shore, they, like, kind of just walked alongside the bear like they really wanted to say hi. You know it was an air brother.
Exactly.
You know it was an air brother or sister on that beach, right? But they really just walking like, hi, Mr. Bear. Like, do y'all think
right.
this is a high school mascot or something? Like, get your ass off the water.
They probably didn't think it was a high school mascot.
I can't. And I won't. I promise you. When Boo Boo came up that water, before Boo Boo got out the way, when his head peeked up and somebody said, oh, that looks like a bear, gotta go. Let that happen in Ocean City. It's going to be a whole different scenario.
Right.
I was like, oh, no, 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 Mr. Bear. No, that storybook would have been different. It would have been called Mr. Bear's Day Out, Mr. Bear's Last Day.
Day Out, right.
Oh, goodness gracious. Speaking of bear-type activities, Babyface fans have harassed Anita Baker so much.
Oh, no.
To the point that Anita has now pulled Babyface off of the tour as her opening act. The fans believe that the tour was a co-headline tour. And no matter what Anita said, the fans continued to troll her Twitter, continued to troll her Facebook, continued to troll all of her social media pages, and then would come to the concert and then boo her when she walked on stage.
No.
Now, I'm not saying that Anita is completely blameless, because everything Anita had to say, she got across on her Twitter page. As well as her other social media outlets, and I'm okay with that. What I am saying, and I don't care who's coming to Babyface's aid, I don't care if it's Tank or Tank's mother, what I am saying is Babyface remained quiet until he got fired. As a veteran in the industry, it is okay for you to let your fans know, listen, y'all, this is not my tour. This is the Anita Baker tour, and she has graciously asked me to open for her. You're not a co-headliner. You're a headlining act, but on this tour, you were booked to be an opening act. And there has been one or two engagements where Anita got to the arena late, and the arena decided, because she was running late, not to put Babyface on. And then by the time she got there, it was time for her to go on stage, and the fans got upset because Babyface never got a chance to go on stage at those two stops. I'm going to say this. Then you need to pick up the phone and call the promoter of the tours, and you need to complain to the promoters of the tour for doing a piss poor job for waiting for the
right.
headliner to arrive. This ain't church. The pastor doesn't. If the pastor can be late and the praise team still go on, how is it that if the headliner is running late, the opening acts can't go on stage? You are a promoter. Start the freaking show. Because if I paid for a ticket, I'm not going to go to Anita Baker's page and say, Anita Baker ain't trash. I came to see Babyface, and he couldn't do his set because the tour started late because Miss Fang was running late. No, the tour started late, because, or the concert started late, because the promoter is a jack-laid promoter and don't know how to do their thing properly. Because with as many songs that Babyface has in his catalog, even if Anita Baker was 3 hours late, if Anita Baker was Lauryn Hill and Lil' Kim late, Babyface could have still made the whole concert flow. So don't blame the promoter. And so I believe that the tweets and the all of the harassment she took on social media, I felt like it was unnecessary. It was poorly tasted on behalf of the fans of Babyface. And it was bad taste on Babyface.
Are.
And I'm good
but
with
you
that.
You know how
it's
fans
cool.
are. You know how
right.
fans are because they take it personally. But also, I do agree with you that there should have been something saying, hey, Anita is, you know, I'm on a tour from Babyface. But I also feel like, you know, with the whole situation, maybe a little understanding from the fans. Fans don't play about that.
But this woman begged this man. That's what I'm saying. This woman has begged this man for 2 weeks. Babyface, please talk to your fans. Kenny, please talk to your fans. Babyface, your schedule ain't that packed, Claire. You commented every day on your Twitter page, but you ignored the comment that needed to be rectified at hand. The issue at hand was your fans are trifling. And not one time did you, as an artist, say, listen, fans, I love y'all. Thank you so much for the support that you are giving me. However, this is Ms. Baker's tour, and I'm going to need y'all not to harass her. It's not the Babyface and Anita Baker tour. It's not the Anita Baker and Babyface tour. It's the Anita Baker tour, guest starring Babyface, opened by Babyface. You ain't, you, like, my nigga, treat this like you treated that versus session. I'm here, but I ain't running the show.
But I also feel like Anita can do this tour by herself. And I feel like she really didn't need a special guest.
I agree.
There also has been backlash with Ms. Baker concerning her before touring with others. So, I understand it on both sides, but I agree with what she did because from what I'm reading from her Twitter, I think it's sad when we take things so personally and threaten people's lives. Like, that's just utterly crazy. Like, why would you get – it is a tour of singers. Anytime a tour of singers or artists get on a tour, it could be 15 of them. One act could act wrong and get kicked off the tour. One act but y'all going to threaten – like, what are y'all doing? Like, that's crazy. You don't threaten to kill people. Like, that's just crazy.
Absolutely.
If you did not agree with what happened, you didn't agree that Babyface did not get to come forth and show his talent, then don't go to the show. Ask for your money back. Call Ticketmaster. Whoever, call the promoter. But to threaten this woman is just insane. Just totally,
absolutely,
totally insane. You know, it's crazy. Like, we don't cyberbully people because, oh, Babyface wasn't able to perform. Okay. He was able to perform. You don't need,
I didn't come for this. I came for Babyface. He was only opening for 30 minutes. And then he comes
right
in at intermission and he does a couple more minutes. And then he goes on with his life.
I mean, and then, like, looking at Babyface's, like, okay, so now we move from Anita and you look at Babyface and he's booked. Like, y'all got to look at it like this. Like, Carly Price said, I'm booked. When she was on R&B Diva. One special guest tour is not going to stop him from being booked. Maybe he's booked.
Y'all,
Babyface's book, Stop the Madness. Go see him at another show, baby.
Go find the one that says Babyface Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I feel bad. Like, I think we should do a show about celebrity, and really delve into that world of celebrity, of being a celebrity. Because
absolutely.
I feel like, as much as some celebrities are rude and nasty, but some celebrities are not. And I actually have a cousin who I just officiated her wedding ceremony. She herself knows celebrities, and She's been at celebrity events. She has her own magazine. Well, she told me recently, and I'm going to get the cover for you, that she did a Trina cover. Mm-hmm. And I know how much you love Trina. So I'm definitely going to see if I can get that magazine from her with Trina in it, okay?
Oh, can we get it signed, too?
I don't know if we can get it signed, but we will try.
Don't worry about it. She'll be this way soon. I ain't got no problem harassing people. You ain't the number of the word. Thank you.
You're welcome. He just told me that this past weekend. But I think we need to talk about celebrities are human beings as well, everybody. They're not just for your enjoyment. They are actual human beings who have a life outside of whatever their venue is, whether it be entertainment, whether it be movies and TV, music, whatever, church, athlete. No, I'm not saying church, right? They are celebrities, but they still are reserved respect. And we have to respect them. And anytime an artist works together with another artist, it's bound to be some type of conflict. And the thing about creatives are very what they are. They're creative, but they also sometimes can be very eccentric. They can also be very different and unique in their creativity. But we as human beings don't understand that. Anita Baker is, I believe she's a consummate performer. I mean, I applaud her at her age and baby face because baby face ain't too far behind at their age to want people to hear that continue to hear their music that they put out. And we have to respect that. Like, if Anita Baker is running late, she can run late.
Absolutely.
She's earned that status, but to threaten her verbally and physically, threaten her on, y'all are nuts, and y'all need to go sit down and get life.
That part. I would have told y'all to show up to the show and threaten me to my face, and I would have had something that would have held every last one of y'all. I promise you. The disrespect level to a legend who not only has paved her way, but who has even had to battle to earn her respect and what was due to her. How dare you? And I hope all of y'all, if I was Babyface, I would find every last one of y'all who harassed this woman and sue y'all for the amount of money I'm going to now miss out on because of your ignorance. Sure would.
Right. But like you said, I agree that it could have been handled differently, but I also agree with the way she handled it. But I liked how Babyface responded. So I feel like I also feel like when they really sit down and they need to sit down and talk and really get to the bottom and say, hey, you know, what happened was so unfair. Social media, like you and I have talked privately, social media is going to be the end of some people because, again, it's all the outlet they have, and everybody wants to be so in the know and feel like you have personal access to the celebrities that you follow on Twitter and then you can talk to them anyway. Like, it's just crazy. It's crazy.
Absolutely crazy. Speaking of crazy and R&B, R&B singer Trey Songz has new charges of sexual assault now being brought up against him yet again. In 2021, WNBA player Dylan Gonzalez tweeted, Trey Songz is a rapist, Lord forgive me. I couldn't hold that in another year. See you in 2022. As we continue to go down the list, in 2012, Songz allegedly struck a woman in the face with a wad of cash, leaving her with a black eye. Now, that's not really sexual assault. I really feel like she was trying to earn that cash, and she just didn't end up. In 2016, he pleaded guilty to two misdemeanor counts for punching a Detroit police sergeant after a concert and throwing a microphone that injured a cameraman. He was later sentenced to probation. In 2021, he punched a police officer at a Kansas City Chiefs game, which I believe that, sometimes that was the charges were not filed due to insufficient evidence, I believe, personally. Officers should have stayed out of the way. In 2017, Keke Palmer accused him of sexually intimidating her to appear in a music video, which Trey Songz denied. Palmer described being so afraid of Songz that she hid in the closet to get away from him. He wrote Baby Girl is Bugging. In 2018, he allegedly choked Andrea Burra at his L.A. home choked her, punched her, and she alleged that he choked her, punched her in the face, and knocked her down. She said that he just has violent tendencies. However, it was dropped because he had been lied on and falsely accused for someone else's personal gains, according to the Los Angeles city and district officials. The case ended up being dropped, and she withdrew the complaint she had filed in 2018. Jahora Jeffries accused Songz of attempting to digitally penetrate her at a Miami nightclub, so finger her at a Miami nightclub. She's now seeking, she refiled the case in 2021, now seeking $20 million after reaching a $10 million settlement. His representatives are trying to get the case dismissed against Trey Songz. Also in 2021, he had a Las Vegas sexual assault investigation that was opened and then dropped in 2022. Now in 2022, Dylan Gonzalez revealed that she experiences unbearable PTSD from Trey Songz concerning the whole Las Vegas hotel situation. And then also Megan Johnson alleged that Trey Songz sexually assaulted her at a party in Connecticut in 2013. However, it didn't come to light until 2022. And now we have an anonymous bowling alley worker that has accused Trey Songz of physically attacking her in a bathroom. What's funny about this is that every 10 original charges that Trey Songz has gotten has been dismissed by the time it reaches court. That's the part that kind of makes me say, wow. The other question I ask myself is why, if that's true, why is he the subject of attack? And then also, come forward. It seems like as soon as the cancel me culture became popular, everybody and their mama got sexually assaulted by somebody.
Or had some trauma based on sexual assault. I agree there are people who have truly, truly been sexually assaulted. But I also think there are some people who have experienced unwanted sexual advances and felt like it borderline sexual assault. So, and I think that's what's happening. It's like some are sexual advances that, to be honest with you, the person felt uncomfortable. It then started off consensual, but then it moved to something else. I don't know. And I don't know why is it. And it's kind of weird, but I feel like the reason why cases are being dismissed is because it's probably not enough evidence. Because they have to have concrete evidence that you do something, you know. So that's why it could be dismissed. But the women can also sue him, not criminally, but they can sue him civilly. So there's that piece as well. So I feel like what is Trey Songz doing to, you know, it seems like he's putting himself in these predicaments that are not
safe. Well, the cases that are coming up are cases that have been like 10 years old, like things that have happened 10 years ago. None of them are recent. It's 2023.
Right.
The latest one that has come up allegedly happened in 2013. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the part that bothers me. Trey's been banking since 2013, and now he's at a point where he's about to actually, I believe he's working on the next studio album, and it seems like now that people see that he's back on the scene, it's like, yeah, let me go after him now.
I don't know. It's hard with... Sexual assault can be very hard to Because what is it that you feel is assault when you feel like you're being assaulted? I don't know. It's just these people coming forward now. It kind of reminds me of the whole situation with Bill Cosby. These women date back to the 60s, all the way back to the 60s, to the 70s. You know, it's weird. Like, this whole, I agree with you, the cancel culture, but the statute of limitations and all these things are just weird occurrences. And it's just really random people like Trey Songz, Jonathan Majors, Bill Cosby. Like, it's just these random, and these black men.
Yeah.
And they're just
Jimmy Allen.
Yeah, same Jimmy thing. Allen. You know, the woman said that they had a sexual, Jimmy Allen said they had a 2-year sexual relationship. So that means the whole time Jimmy Allen was married to his wife, he was having an extramarital affair.
Mm-hmm.
He started as extramarital affair the year he married his wife, his
mm-hmm.
soon-to-be ex-wife. This is the funny thing. So to hear this is kind of just strange. I feel like, and I'm not saying that there are people that are not sexually assaulted. I'm not saying that at all. There are people who have been sexually assaulted, who have been raped by a celebrity or a man or people. Because now everybody, women are raping other women. You know, so we can say that, but men are being raped by other men. So let's just look at it from that point of view. But it's just weird that these random folks, celebrities, again, that's why we got, that's why I think we need to do a podcast about celebrities, because it seems like they're in danger. Like they can't actually have a normal life.
Absolutely. Philadelphia is experiencing a breakdown of lanes, that is. A tanker had caught on fire, and he pulled over underneath of an underpass, and the bridge in Philadelphia had collapsed. Unfortunately, the driver of the tanker did not survive. However,
wow.
It shut down the entire 95 South. Until this day, Philadelphia is blocked off on one section of I-95, where you have to get off, drive, I believe, about 3 miles down the road, maybe five, and then get back onto 95. Condolences do go out to the driver of the tanker that unfortunately passed away. And we do wish his family as best of luck as possible. But he has been identified by his family following the wreckage underneath of the underpass. And his name was Nathaniel Moody. They called him Nate. He was 53 years old. And he had driven the same route in and around the 95 ramp. All the Freedom Army veteran had a spotless driving record and had been responsible for delivering gasoline to Wawa gas stations across the region. Authorities have not yet publicly identified the body pulled from the wreckage. However, his family has. And the discovery came as demolition crews prepared to dismantle part of the southbound lanes after the tanker blast Sunday caused a section of the northbound side of the heavily traveled highway to collapse. At a news conference, they asked if a body was found or if the body of the driver was found. Secretary Mike Carroll said, "I will defer to the medical examiner for comment on that." And then his cousin, who described the trucker as a hardworking family man, and said he's been driving trucks for a decade. You know, seems like he's very cool with the people, very cool with his family, and unfortunately this is a very grim and sad occasion. The beams, it seemed, was very weak. The support beams were very weak, it seems, according to the inspectors that hold up the southbound lane. And so when the 8,500-gallon capacity tanker truck seems like they lost control trying to negotiate the curve on the exit ramp, slammed into a wall, and the truck caught on fire, and which the support beams that were incapable of supporting the traffic, so they literally the highway or the overpass collapsed, and they had to shut down the work. Number of things that come to my mind here. Number one, does the family sue Philadelphia? Because there definitely is much work that has been done on Philadelphia Road. I do feel they should have known that those beams were not supportive. Number two, if the truck did not have an accident for these, how many cars would have passed when that road decided I quit is the next thing that comes to my mind. And number three, you know, how do we know that the repair that they're making now doesn't mean that they need to do an in-depth look at the bridges and the overpasses, mm-hmm. and the underpasses of Philadelphia and other cities to make sure
right.
that are these roads we travel are safe. You know, we have millions of cars that go up and down the highways every single day. You know, how do we know these bridges are safe? How do we know that these tunnels are safe? How do we know that, you know, the things that are so, that I'm paying my tax dollars for you to take care of are safe? That's where it comes to mind when I read when I read this article.
It is a state job to maintain all roadways, so to say that you guys don't have money would be a disservice because it is a state job by the federal government. It's just very disheartening to hear that someone passed and it was the driver. If he had a spotless driving record, again, accidents do happen, but we must, the infrastructure of our state highways and bridges must take into consideration of those things. And we got to do better with keeping better tabs on those things. Again, like I said, it is the state job, y'all, not the federal government, the state job to make sure our roadways and bridges are kept up to par.
Absolutely. Absolutely. On Sunday, the Tony Awards were held live at the United Palace in New York City. Very, very highly watched show. Very, very interesting broadcast. I myself, big shout out to winners Kimberly Akimbo, Jay Harrison Yee, Victoria Clark, Sean Hayes. I'm not even going to pronounce
Comer.
That winner. Jody Connor, Kareem, Top Dog Underdog, Alex Newell, Robert Freed, Victoria Bailey, Bonnie Milligan, Brandon Uranowitz, Kimberly Akimbo again, Miriam Silverman, John Kander, David Lindsay, Abair, Jerry Mitchell, Tim Luckin, Patrick Marber, Beowulf Baritz, Brian Carter, Ruffinstool, I think is your last name, Michael Arden, Casey Nicolau, Tim Hartley, Nevin Steinberg. I'm not fitting to read all these. I mean, they got more winners than the DT Awards. But big shout-out and an extra big shout-out to Alex Newell, who broke history. And Jay Harrison Yee. Who also set records to becoming the first non-binary LGBTQIA plus Tony Award winners. Big night for the Tonys. I think to me this is one of the best award shows this year on TV.
Mm-hmm. did I miss one? Oh, the Oscars, the Grammys. Okay. We haven't had the Emmy Awards, right? We haven't had the Emmy Awards. No. No, no, come on, come on. I agree. It was a great show. I especially love that John Heston, Judy, and Alex Newell won in category in the, as non-binary people and people of color. That's what I liked about it as well. I love when my people of color win awards, high-profile awards. So congratulations to everyone. But the highlight of the night was Danae Benton and her calling Ron DeSantis the brand wizard of Florida.
Yes. Yes.
That was epic. The highlight of the night.
That was epic.
And the applause given to, wasn't that ovation, but it was applause. So it was extremely epic, yes, I will agree. And you all know that there's a writer's strike, so there were no writers for the Tony Awards. There was no writers. There was no people writing. So the show was most likely either ad-libbed or people wrote stuff down on their own. But the show did not have writers that wrote the Tony Awards, okay? Because there is still a writer's strike going on in Atlanta, still going on, and it's going towards a possible actor's strike as well. But we'll get more into that as it becomes, more news becomes available.
Absolutely. Speaking of writers who should be on strike, Tyler Perry is now the head of BET and VH1. First time ever for me being ran by an African-American man, and the first time
serious?
In over 10 years that BET is now ran by an African-American. So congratulations to Tyler Perry. I do pray that does mean that we won't have to keep seeing 1,000 Madea movies over and over and over. And I said it on their page. I don't really care. But a big shout out to Tyler Perry. He is breaking boundaries in the entertainment industry.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome that Tyler Perry has bought BET and VH1. It's just because I know that Viacom was looking to sell BET and VH1. I like the fact that they were willing to, that they sold it and they will, yeah. I do hope that something changed, but we'll see how this comes to play. We'll see how this comes to play.
Absolutely. Maybe we can get Bobby Jones Gospel back.
We will not get Bobby Jones Gospel back, only because Bobby Jones is 80 plus years old and probably just wants to sit down and relax.
I didn't say Bobby Jones back. I said maybe we can get Bobby Jones Gospel back. He don't have to host it. Don Cornelius didn't
host
it for well over 10 years.
Ain't that what they tried to do with Bobby Jones Gospel? I say, if you want to bring Bobby Jones Gospel back, please let Donald Lawrence host it, okay?
That would be awesome. He has the closest voice to Bobby Jones.
Yeah. If we're going to bring it back, just let it go back to the format, because I love the – can we please have the Nashville Super Choir, though? That's all I'm asking. Can we have the Nashville Super Choir?
I'm down. Do they still exist? Like, are they all still living? I mean, I know the lady from Sesame Street, I know she's not living. But,
No, I'm just saying we just need to let the, I just say we just bring back the National Super Choir. I do believe the National Super Choir members are still alive, maybe except for those, a couple of the members from that were part of Bobby Jones' New Life. Yeah. I just say let it come back, y'all. Let Bobby.
Absolutely.
I'll agree with you. If Bobby Jones comes back, let it come back.
I think it'd be good. I think it'd be good for BET. It was one of the most watched shows in BET I think I just feel like we need something on black entertainment television that's not always filled with drama and foolishness and fuckery. Like, I'm tired of watching everything Tyler Perry. I'm not even going to hold you on that when it comes to BET. And I'm tired of seeing the same shows over and over and over and over. Like, Jesus, can we please get something fresh on? Like, get, you know, and Tyler, you don't have to write every show. Get some folks together. Like, pick up some shows that other stations won't pick up. And just be okay with some things. Like, everything don't have to be a Tyler Perry.
He needs a writer's room. He needs a writer's room. A writer's room is essential to any great show. Some of the shows that I watch is because they have a great writer's room, or they have different people sit at the table that are creative, and that is important. You need a great writer's room. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Some of the shows that I watched from Tyler Perry, one of my favorites was The Have and the Have Not. The first two seasons, the first four seasons of The Have and Have Not were great to me. But when he started, kind of crossing lines, like, it was like him including sex scenes, him included, cursing, dropping S, saying, it just got weird. It just got weird. I'll just say that. It just got weird.
I mean, I think he's trying to just really stay current or keep up with current things. But at the end of the day, I feel like stay in the lane that you're used to, and what you're not used to, hire someone. You're the producer. Doesn't mean you always have to be the producer, the writer, the song creator, the narrator, the curator, the casting agency, there are millions of people out here that are trying to get a chance into broadcasting, into different things in arenas and entertainment. Everything doesn't always have to be completely your way. You're dedicated, I get it, especially to those who helped you get to where you are today. You know, but some of your actors are stage play actors. They are not TV ready. And some of your actors are great. You know, I love what's the spinoff called? I love Ruthless. Like, I'm a Ruthless fanatic. I do love that. I'm grateful that he allowed Miss Pat to shine on the Miss Pat show. You know, so I'm grateful for that, because I knew Paramount wasn't going to be able to withhold that woman at all, you know, for change. But then, you know, I was not a Have and Have Not fan. Sorry, but it was just too dramatic for me. I love all the Queen's Men. Great show. Your prosthetics. Tyler, I don't know who does your prosthetics, but they fire. Like, you got some good prosthetics. Your prosthetics are better than your wigs, dog. I ain't going to hold you. Your wigs a mess, but your fake thingy bodies, Tyler, yeah, like, I thought they were real. But your, you know, just, it's just certain things you do that you can tell. It automatically says to a person watching, yeah, this is Tyler Perry.
Right.
You know, so I think you definitely got some coming up still to do. But nonetheless, congratulations. I'm really excited to see how things change for BET. There are so many things that I know this BET Plus is bringing that isn't on TV. Video Soul is back, and
I saw that, Video Soul.
Yeah, and then they have, you know, the spinoff to Sisters, and they got the spinoff to this, and the spinoff to that, and the spinoff to this, and all the spinoffs cross into each other's lane. But I just really want some things. I heard they're trying to bring Comic View back. But I don't know if it's going to be on BET or if Kevin Hart bought the rights and putting it on Laugh Out Loud. But I did hear that the first episode is going to be done during the Kevin Hart weekend in Las Vegas. So that's exciting. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
That's all I have for hot topics.
I have no hot. I am, well, we can move on to the next thing.
I love
moving on to the show topic.
Maurice is trying not to be shady. He starts laughing.
Yay!
All right, tonight's show topic, guys, Barry, is we're asking the question, is the door still open? As we know, many of our young people grow up in today's time with the absence of a parent. And in some situations, there are times when the parent that is absent tries to come back into the child's life. Sometimes it's earlier in their lives. Sometimes it's in the middle, maybe their teens. But there are certain instances where the children are adults and the parent wants to come back into the picture. And the question we're asking tonight is if you guys feel like it's too late to build a bridge with your parents once, or even a bond with your parents if they decide to come back in your life after being absent. And this is particularly for, to me, for a lot of the teens to adults especially, is, you know, how do you feel? What is that feeling? We want you guys that are listening, feel free to call in 319-527-6083, 319-527-6083. If you would like your voice to be heard, our lines are always open to our listeners, and we love you guys so much for always sharing how you feel. Being a child myself, I had this happen on both ends. I had this happen, number one, my father, he always lived close enough to see me, and when we saw each other, it was always a hey or a hi and bye thing. I mean, don't get me wrong, a lot of the time he was locked up, but at the end of the day, like when he was not locked up, it was always like a hi and bye type thing. It was never a relationship that we built, and for a long time I felt some type of way about it. It didn't really bother me. Like, I really want people to understand, like, I was a little different. It didn't really bother me on the basis that I had my grandfather. I felt some type of way. I was like, you know, how dare you, you know, how dare you help create me, but you don't have nothing to do with me. And there's a story behind it that I know really not a lot about, and I'm okay with that too. However, my grandfather, God bless his heart, he was the dad that I wanted, you know. And then I had other helpers, you know. I had my village dads, Pop LaFate, my Uncle Kevin Broomer, my Uncle Kevin Harris, my cousin Mark. You know, I had people in my life who understood the assignment. Then I also went through it again, even with my mom, during my high school years, and some of my college years, actually most of my college years, which with the same exact situation as far as her just to do her. Which I, you know, that one stung a little bit more. And the issue on my end is I learned it hardens your heart, and you develop low self-esteem. You develop, I went through a period of low self-esteem. I went through a period of suicide attempts. I went through a period of hatred because I felt like everybody was making excuses on all ends. And I feel it's very unfortunate. I believe if you're going to be a father, if you're going to be a parent, no matter which way it is, whether it's your dad or whether you're a mother, if you're going to be a parent, if you're going to bring a child into this world, understand that that's when the world stops being about you. I believe that when you are a parent and you feel that the world is still about you, you are selfish. And I feel like there's a lack of maturity on your end, and it's unfair to your children. And as an educator, when I see these type things, you know, I don't have a problem calling the parent on their bullshit. I don't have a problem calling a parent and telling the parent, you know, well, baby, if we stop worrying about yourself and you put your child first like you are assigned to do, and you are legally responsible for doing it. then a lot of the issues that we see with that child will kind of ease themselves out. I don't like when parents are so negate to their children's emotions and their children's feelings. I don't, even if you're divorcing, your child has a right to still have a relationship with both parents. And if a parent decides to leave, you know, understand the reason of what needs to be done, because at the end of the day, like, there are some parents who leave because the other parent makes life a living hell. You know, there are women out there, and I'm not going to knock that for what it is. There are women out there who they don't allow their children to spend time with their fathers because they're bitter that the father didn't want them. There are men out there who I'm quite sure does the same thing with kids when their wife or their girlfriend decides to leave them and they get custody. But at the end of the day, my issue is we are bringing hell to children who are innocent and they never asked to be here. And then if something happens to their parent, you know, then it's a whole nother situation, because now not only were you never here for me, but now even if I wanted you here, I couldn't be here. Now, as far as the question we're asking, as far as is it ever too late to build a bridge, to me, that's up to the child. For me, I called my dad out on his foolishness. And I explained to him how I felt, how he made me feel, and I chose to have a relationship with my dad. But that was because that's something that I felt was needed for me to maintain and to appreciate my peace.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that after a certain time, it is up to the child to decide, A, do they want the relationship, and B, are you even worth the relationship? Because my motto is simple. I treat things like divorce. Like, if you've been gone for 10 years, this common law relationship is over. So there's no reason for me to deal with you. If you've been going this long and I still, I don't want to deal with you, you blew your chances. Nobody cares.
Right.
You know, but there are some instances where we have people who are grown adults who are crying out for a relationship with their parents. And I feel like this needs to be handled. So, you know, what is your thoughts, Maurice?
Well, I myself have had, I met my biological father at 28. And that was not any fault of my own. It was just some secrets that were not being told to me. I knew about my biological father when I was 16, but unfortunately, I didn't know where he was. I didn't know how to contact him. So when I was 28, and I moved to this area, to the DMV area, that's when I met him. And it wasn't It's just, I think lies, when you don't tell children the truth about their parents and you kind of hide it, that's not helpful. I also believe that, you know, in the best interest, people do stuff in the best interest of their child, which is fine, but you don't help your child who may want to have a relationship with that parent. Now, there are some parents who don't want to have a relationship with kids at all, that child at all, or their children at all. And that's the unfortunate part. I think that when you reach a certain age in life, adulthood, it's up to, like you said, I do agree with you, that it's up to that child to make a decision if they want to have a relationship with that absent parent or that parent. Or, you know, I also want to look at it from this point of view as well. What if the parent, due to addiction or due to health addiction, wasn't there for their child? And we have that as well. A lot of parents are not there due to addiction, and so they are missing. And so when they try to come back in their child's life, you know, the addiction factor too much. And so now they have to kind of replay. That child has to figure out, if they want their parents in their life. There are a few people that I know, their parents were an addict. And so trying to rebuild that relationship with their parent after so many years, after their parent has come off, has gotten clean and sober, it looks different. So we got to look at what are the factors that often prevent parents and children from connecting. It could, you know, I'm not saying people are wrong or not defending people, but I'm also saying that we need to look at factors. We need to address those issues. And I like what you said earlier. It is really up to the adult child to figure out if they want to have a relationship with their parent, with that absent or missing parent.
Absolutely. I definitely feel that.
But I also feel like we need to, as children, we do need to show some type of grace. But I also understand that with these relationships can be very toxic and can be very, very toxic and very confusing. I have a situation in my own family where it's a very toxic relationship between these two individuals, their mother and daughter, and their relationship has always been toxic. The daughter was telling me that she and her mother cannot get along because it's always been that way. And the daughter is tired. She's tired of trying to have a relationship with her mother, but her mother continually does things to alienate her daughter. So it saddens me that this is happening, but what can really be done when the mother is the one causing the issue? You know, the daughter, and all children want to do is seek approval and please their parents. And I think what parents need to do is stop being so extra. Stop being so extra. Stop being extra.
I don't know why they sell fireworks in the middle of June, because Flag Day is not a freaking firework holiday. I'm sorry. Extra.
That's a nice way of putting it, because I could say so much, but I just feel like parents can be too much.
Extra.
Extra, extra.
I know that's right. Do you feel like, how can I put it? I don't like when parents make their child have a relationship with someone because it's your parent. Does that make sense to you?
I don't think it should be forced. I didn't force myself to have a relationship with my biological father because I felt like I wanted to have a relationship with him because that's what I wanted. I don't like when mothers try to force sons to have relationships with their father. Oh, that's your dad. That's your dad, and you need to have a relationship with him. No, I have questions. Before we start this relationship, we need to assess what went wrong and why you're just now coming back around. I think it's like you said, like, you know, you haven't had a relationship with your father all your life, correct?
Correct. Not until recently. Like, we just...
Not until recently.
Yeah.
So,
maybe the last 3 years we really developed a relationship.
Right. So I don't feel like it should be forced. Like, I don't feel like it should be forced or I should be ridiculed because I don't have a relationship with my father. I don't have the best relationship with my stepfather, but I'm not forcing that either. I'm not forcing myself to do anything that I don't feel comfortable with. And I think when we force people to be in these relationships with family members that they don't want to be around or they don't fool with, it causes undue stress, but it also causes us to feel, it also causes people to take a step backwards. So what you think is a happy friendship or a relationship, or it's one that you now don't want to have it because you were forced into it. And I don't think, I don't feel comfortable forcing anyone into something that they're not comfortable with.
Absolutely. Now, I don't believe that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I don't believe that we should, I also don't believe we should teach the child to disrespect their parent. Because
right.
a lot of times there are situations that you may not know nothing about concerning that person. And at the end of the day, this is still your parent. So I don't believe that, no, while you don't have to have a relationship with your parent, you don't have to disrespect your parent. You know, if anything, have that conversation. What was going on through your mind? Like, I know someone who says they don't respect their father because even though he was there, he wasn't there. But in the midst of him being there, he was an addict. He was an alcoholic, and that made him abusive. He was in and out of jail. He was everything that you could do wrong was probably done wrong. But I don't believe that that would make me disrespect the parent. It would make me, you know, I have a thing against. I don't like parents who, number one, I don't like parents
right.
who talk down about their co-laborer, I'll call them tonight, to their child. Because at the end of the day,
the co-laborer.
because at the end of the day, you chose to lay with this dude. So, you know, like if I don't like a parent, you know, your dad ain't shit. He wasn't shit when you met him. You chose to lay down with him. Don't bring toxicity into the child's life. You know, because the child is crying out for their dad. You know, or because the child looks like their dad. You look just like your damn daddy. Well, I looked like him when I was born too, heifer. Like, you know, you ain't gonna be shit. You just like your mom. Well, I mean, she wasn't shit when you were screwing her either, but you still decided to have me. I's here now. So these are, you know, to
right.
me, I do feel like that should never be done. However, I don't feel like you should force the relationship, like you said, with the parent or the child.
Mm-hmm. I also think that I think society needs to stop with this. Well, not society. I think that parents need to look, when you start saying, oh my God, you look like your father, and that's why, or oh my God, I should have never had you but you're bitter because you had sex with someone you were not necessarily either. You thought he was going to be with you forever. You did it. You have a child now. And now all your frustration and anger, you're now taking out on this child. And that in and of itself is just not healthy. And this is why the relationships are strained. This is why the relationships are going in the manner in which they're going, because people are not honest about, I made a mistake. I should not have had, sex with that person. I should not have done what I did. And now I'm at this point where I was unhappy. You know, sometimes the person was abusive, you know, and I get that. Like, no, we don't know but you knew you were in a toxic relationship, stayed in the relationship, and you're really taking instead of accepting responsibility for the part that you played, you're taking that out on your child, which is not healthy in any case, because you have to look at the bigger picture of the part that you played.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God that my mom never, ever took out her frustration, or even if she had frustration, when, you know, concerning my own family life, on my stepfather, on me. I just wish that she had been more honest about what was going on, so I would have a better understanding of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Been figuring it out through therapy, and I am not knocking my mother is deceased. I'm not knocking her choices. I'm not saying she was a bad mother, because she was not a bad mother. is that this one secret that she held from me until I was 16 really took my life in a tailspin, but really had me thinking, like, there's so many other avenues I could have went down that didn't have to go here. But I'm not knocking the direction my life has gone. And I want to say that, too. I'm not knocking it, and I understand it a little bit better. But it's just so many pieces of this puzzle that are not, that were just weird. So I'm not saying that. It's just when people hold on to stuff and they make choices that you may not agree with, or I wouldn't have done it that way. I would have told, like, if I was my mother, I would have told I would have told me that, you know, this was when I was old enough for me to understand this is my, this is not your father, this is who your father is, because my stepfather also knew who my father was. He was the one who actually told me. And so to hear him say this to me was weird, but also was kind of like, oh, now some things make sense. But then at 48, you start realizing a lot of things make sense. I was raised by my grandmother, which is my stepfather's mom, and she was a wonderful parent. She was a wonderful mother to me, surrogate mother to me, or however you see it. But again, I'm telling you all, I'm not knocking my mother's choices. My mother did the best she could. I'm not knocking her, and I don't have hatred for her. You know, because some people hear this story and can say, well, why don't you hate your mother, or why didn't you turn out? Because I understood where my mother was, and I also, my mother did the best she could for what she had. She never talked bad about my biological father. She didn't tell me anything, but she never talked bad about him, and she never even talked bad about my stepfather, even though their marriage was not the best. She didn't do, my mother was not that type of woman, you know, and I'm glad she wasn't that type of mother. But I also want you all to understand is that sometimes your parents are at low places in their life, and some of the stuff they do is what they do. And it doesn't help that children are caught in the crosshairs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like children are caught in the crosshairs of parents who were young, parents who, you know, thought they were ready to be parents. So this is, you know, I get it. So please do not mistake, you know, those of you that listen to this podcast right now, or those that will listen to it later, or you listen to us later, please don't, I'm not coming from a place of bitterness or anger or any of that. I have a wonderful relationship with my father. I had a wonderful relationship with my mother. I had a wonderful relationship with my grandmother. And there are some relationships I understand that I will not tolerate to be on certain levels. And I don't, and that doesn't mean I hate anyone. I just understand a little bit better about what my needs are.
Absolutely.
I was telling, I just add my two cents.
I love it. What was the question I was going to ask? It was something that you said, and it's going to probably not jump into my head until next show. Like, it was definitely something you had said, and it kind of caught me, and I was like, oh, let me ask a question. I was like, no, let me wait.
I'm trying to help you. So was it about my relationship with my mother, my father?
No.
Was it along with my grandmother?
Do you feel that it was wrong of your stepfather to say that he wasn't your father?
No, I don't. I don't feel like it was wrong for him to say that, because I feel like it was the right thing to do. I felt like it was the right thing to do because it needed to be said, so that it wouldn't feel weird at 28 that some man come talking about, I'm your father. it would have felt weird that happened, and then like, have to ask questions. I think it came at the right time. I was a teenager. So it opened the door to some unanswered questions, but it also made me realize that I needed to address some issues within myself. And I don't, again, like I said, I don't hate anyone. I didn't hate my mother for not telling me. I just didn't understand her not telling me. We had a relationship where we fought, where we could have talked, and she could have told me that, and I would have understood, because I understood that when she was pregnant, she was young. She was a teenager. I just think that the timing was, now I would say the timing was weird, because I'd say the timing was weird. I'll say that. The timing was weird. You know, timing was weird, but him telling me was not weird at all. I felt like it needed to, when he told me it needed to be said, and it kind of, like I said, it was an aha moment. You know how, like, you had that, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this is the way it is, or that's why,
we definitely need to do a show on, I think, on family secrets and the
most definitely.
Yeah, like I think that would be an awesome show to just really, you know, and challenge our listeners, you know, not to just talk about their family secrets, but also what secrets are you keeping from your family?
Right. It's funny because we do a lot. We within the black community, and I know we're going to do a show about this, but within the African-American community, we do a lot of hiding secrets. Somebody is the child, the love child of brother so-and-so or auntie so-and-so, and are raised by somebody else. Or, we don't want people to know certain things, and we tell family, what goes on in my house stays in my house, which is fine, but you don't understand. Like, okay, for instance, it's funny you brought that up, is that, so y'all, like I say, I was raised by my stepfather, and so what ended up happening is that I have cousins that know about my biological father, but there's also other cousins that did not know about my biological. So I posted on Facebook about my biological father, and one of my cousins was so upset that she didn't know. And she's been, like, this woman has been, this was my grandmother's sister side, my grandmother's sister. So it was one of my cousin's daughter. And she was so upset that she didn't know and that no one told her that, you know, all my life she's known me for 48 years. All she know that this person is my stepfather, is my father, but she did not get told. And that in of itself can corrode a family. And she was so hurt by that family secret. But I understood her place. I understood where she was in that moment. She was hurt. She was hurt and she was upset because of this huge family secret that no one told her about.
So do you feel
do
you feel like that's something that needs to be shared with the whole family though?
The thing is we're close family. So when I met my biological father, at one point he actually took me to Salisbury and met my grandmother before she, you know, this was way before she was ever sick or deceased. He met my cousin. So it wasn't that the whole family needed to know. I just think that certain people needed to know, like my grandmother, because she raised me, because she's a part of my life, all of my life. And I think people's reaction to it can be very jarring too. Like, I don't want to talk the whole show, but and we'll talk about this when we do the family secret. It even got to the point where it was told to me, don't forget where you came from. And it kind of was very like, what? My dad and my biological father and I talked about this today. It's like very like, don't forget where you came from. What does that mean? I can never forget where I came from. I will never forget where I came from. I won't do that because that's not who I am as an individual. I don't believe in forgetting where I came from because where I came from is what shaped me. So to hear someone say that, it's very like, what the, you know, what the is going on?
Right.
Like, why do people feel like that's okay to say?
Yeah,
so
and
I
especially in today's time, kids may not even realize where they came from, especially, like, you know what I mean? Like, in today's time, kids may not even understand, like, this is where you come from anyway.
Right. And because of all of this revelation, though, I want to add this. This is kind of, it's on topic, but it's off topic. So I had to have a physical because I have this life insurance policy, and, of course, through life insurance, you have to have a physical. So when the man came to interview me, he asked me, do I have any siblings? And I said, yes. He said, do you, and his next words were, do you have any full blood siblings?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait. I had to process that for a minute.
Absolutely.
I don't have any full blood siblings.
Mm-hmm.
I have none. I have none full blood siblings. None. I have siblings.
Same here.
Siblings,
so I did it.
But I'm
same
not.
Here.
Yeah. So it kind of was like, wow. Like, to think about it from that point of view, like, wow, I have none. Like, I have none. I have, but I do have sets of siblings that are full blood, but I'm not.
Gotcha.
So, it makes you think. I just think that I think that when these secrets and when these things come out, we have to handle the backlash of it all. But when parents and I think that's why it's important that we, like, if you're going to form relationship with your parents, you're going to have a relationship with parents or parental figures, like, be very honest about these secrets because the secrets will and corrode relationships. And if there's huge secrets and huge secrets or huge things that are not being told, then you run the risk of alienating families more and more, especially those or alienating your family or allow or not having the relationship you desire.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
and I do agree with that wholeheartedly because the last thing you need, and even with the you know, even when you look into the whole, you know, whether you have full blooded siblings question, because that was asked to me also, and I was like, you know, it actually made me feel some type of way because, like, when they asked it, I was like, damn, so if I die today, like, or if I needed blood today, I don't know if I can actually call on anybody.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that messed me up in itself because it's like, yo, who do I really, it made me ask the question to myself, like, yo, who do I really have?
Right.
Yeah. So definitely understood that whole questionnaire. And if you like me, it pissed me off. So I was just like, I'm not even gonna worry about it. I'm not gonna think about
it. It didn't piss me off. It was just like,
it pissed me off. I was just like,
revelatory. Like, it was like revelatory for me because it's like, again, I'm like you as well. Like, okay, if I needed a blood transfusion, who could I call? The only one I probably could call could be my father.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like, it like, siblings are important. But when you don't, but then it also made me say, well, is this why I don't have a connection with my siblings because I'm half of them and not fully them? You know what I'm saying? So it made me ask that question to myself. I get it. Like,
to
hear that will make you be like, well, wait a minute, hold on. What do you mean? We're not full. Is that why we don't get along?
Exactly. That's why we don't get along now, because I ain't nothing like you.
Right.
I ain't even all of you.
Right. Right.
That's your other side that makes you act like that.
Exactly.
I love, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it's so crazy because most of the times we say these type things as a joke. You know, like you got that from your daddy's side. You get that from your mama's side, you know, but that's real rap. Like it really makes you ask the question like, well, what exactly, you know, because I did a whole observation because I always say if I grew up, like when I grew up, I wanted to be like my granddad. So I did a whole observation. And the stuff that I had in me, I noticed that was, especially the things that were more like my father, I was like, oh, this got to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it became a thing where I was just like, you know what? Even though it can remind me of him, like, I'm okay with certain things. I'm not going to ever be perfect, you know, but I did realize that, you know, no matter how we try to avoid it, we get something from everybody who has impacted our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the part that really just keeps me standing at this point. It's just like, you know, because I can honestly say, like, I learned how to be a great dad from my grandfather and from Mr. Rob LaFaith was an orphan, you know. He actually tried to beat me before, and I was like, now, wait a minute now. You ain't my dad, brother. You know, but it was one of those things that I had to take a look back and really appreciate as I got older that, you know, these things really, these people really did care, because if they didn't, they would have let me just do whatever I wanted to do and didn't care about the outcome.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, any last thoughts, sir?
No, I think, I do have one last thought. I think that for those of you who are listening that are having, you know, trying to figure out should you connect with your parents or not, I think you ask yourself if you're willing to take that chance, but also, if you still don't feel comfortable, I would say no at this time. But also seek therapy. Seek therapy on these relationships. He would be very beneficial and give you the tools to help you kind of figure out what you need to do. I also believe that, you know, time doesn't heal wounds. I wanted to stop saying time heals all wounds. It doesn't. It really doesn't. So if you have been wounded and you're still looking for healing, I would say get therapy. Go see a therapist, get you the help you need so that you can build relationships if that's what you desire. You want to build a relationship with your parental, do that. And that's my last thought.
Beautifully said. As always, our friends, you can always reach out to us on our caller line, 319-527-6083. You can use that for any show. It's also shown on your screen when you tune into our station. Our guest call-in line definitely does pop up on your screen. Ha, found that out. You can always check us out on Facebook or Instagram at The Brothers Podcast and tell us what you feel and what you think. You can also always check us out on your Blog Talk Radio every single Tuesday night at 7:30. And then following this broadcast, you can always check us out on Apple Podcasts and on iHeartRadio Podcast. We thank you guys for listening. As always, we are so excited that we were able to come into your lives and into your homes and talk about important matters. And of course, throw a little comedy in because we just real people. And we always promise you that you will always get an unadulterated, non-sugar-coated broadcast when you tune into the Brothers Podcast. So until next time, I am your boy Dre from the First State, the Diamond State, the home of our illustrious president, Joe Biden, the home of your money, and with me from Baltimore, Maryland, Charm City, and the city that your crab cake was probably designed in is none other than Mar. And we are that you tuned in. We'll see you next Tuesday at 7:30.
See you next Tuesday.
Yeah, or B Square. But nonetheless, we love you and we thank you for tuning in. This is the Brothers signing out.